Again, together we're going to look into the Word of God and try to discover truth. And we've been praying that God the Holy Spirit will lead us into truth. And the Bible, of course, is a fabulous book because it not only gives us the whole law of God, all the laws by which mankind are to live, and what's the consequence of our life if we don't live according to the law of God. And also, of course, in that law, God gives how all the information about God himself interrelates into our lives and into the whole affairs of the world as he, because this is his world, this is his plan. This is not something that's out there just as an appendage of some kind that God has created and now just go do your thing, fellas. Go do your thing. No way. God is intimately involved in every aspect of this world's affairs. And, of course, the record is the Bible. And so we've been going into the Bible very, very carefully. And for the last many, many, many studies, we've been looking at the book of Jeremiah. And Jeremiah is one of many places. Actually, the whole Bible is replete with information about God's plan, the unfolding of God's salvation plan, which finally ends up with Judgment Day. God does not just handle that just as kind of a incidentally, I want to tell you, there's the end of the world. Incidentally, there's going to be a judgment day at the end. Too bad, and so on. No, God has an enormous amount of information. But for God's own purposes, and we can begin to think of various reasons why this was God's purpose, he has hidden to a very high degree within the words of the Bible the details of the very end. The best we've been able to do throughout the centuries in the local churches is know there is going to be an end. There is going to be an end. But even that was so fuzzy that there were some who were saying, yes, the end will come after a 1,000-year reign of Christ. And some were saying, no, before a 1,000-year reign of Christ, and so on. And so even though the Bible has always been understood that there is finally going to be an end, there is a judgment day coming, but the details of that judgment day have been so utterly fuzzy and hidden by God, and God purposefully did that, that no one had any idea of how complex it really is. And I suppose, I don't know all the reasons why God has hidden that information down through the centuries. Well, we can speculate as to why God did, and that's not very, very valuable to speculate. But the fact is, now we're very close to the end, and we're living in a day, and God clearly told us in Daniel chapter 12 that seal these things up for the time of the end. And then when we get to the time of the end, God has given us a lot of information. We're finding that the Bible is just dripping with information. And one of the great pieces of information we learned was that it was from Ecclesiastes chapter 8, every true believer would know time and the law. Time and the law. We might just refer to those verses again because I want to tie into that a little bit. If we look at Ecclesiastes, I've mentioned these verses quite frequently recently, but they are so important, so important. Ecclesiastes chapter 8. And there, remember, we read that verse 5, whoso keepeth the commandment shall feel no evil thing. I can't comment about this enough. Those who keep the commandments, we know, are the true believers. They're the only ones who have an intense desire to do the will of God. That's the nature of a child of God because we've received our new resurrected soul. And We won't feel any evil thing. That is, the evil that God has planned at the end of time, we will not feel. As we prayed in the Lord's Prayer, deliver me from evil. And that evil is the wrath of God. That is the supreme evil that will come upon the peoples of the world because of their sins. And that gets right into the end of time. That's why that ties in with the idea that the next phrase, and a wise man's heart discerneth both time and judgment. And we've learned that the word judgment is a synonym for the law of God, time and the law. If you want to really develop that, go to Psalm 119, where you'll find that the law of God is, God uses a number of synonyms, precepts, testimonies, word, commandments, law, and judgments. They're all synonyms talking about the very Word of God itself, the Bible. The Bible is the law of God. It is the judgment of God. And we will know, the wise man will know both time and the law. Time, that's something that we're only learning about in this closing era. All through the history of the world, time has been very, very fuzzy, as to when the world was created, or when so-and-so lived, or when this happened or that happened. But in our time, because we are finally at the time when we're at the end, God has opened our eyes, so we've been able to go through the Bible with great precision, so we know precisely when every king of Judah and every king of Israel ruled. We know precisely when the flood occurred. We know precisely when creation occurred. We know precisely when Jesus was baptized. We know precisely when he went to the cross. We know precisely when the Holy Spirit was poured out at Pentecost. And as we project, we're learning more and more very precisely the details of the end. Because, look at verse 6, to every purpose there is time and judgment. You see, there is, and therefore the misery of man is great upon him, because that time is moving toward what? Judgment Day, the end. It's moving toward the end. And that's the ultimate misery, except for a remnant chosen by grace. And through the history, the world has been around for 13,000 years now, and the number of true believers is only a tiny remnant. As we search the Bible for all the information we can find concerning the success of God's salvation plan in the world at any time in that 13,000 years of history that has already passed, we find that never was there a time of great pouring out of salvation. Just because we look at a number in Acts chapter 2, when at Pentecost, when at the beginning of the church age, about 3,000 were saved in one afternoon, that didn't mean that from then on, whenever a group of people got together, there'd be another 3,000 being saved, and another 3,000 being saved, and another 3,000 being saved. That was simply, to use a modern day language, that was just a kickoff of a wonderful program that God had to begin to send the gospel into all the world. Well, now we know time and judgment, and as we lay this out now, we are learning more and more about the timing of the very end. And now heretofore, I have, personally, in my personal studies, I have, and together with the help of others, who I'm always getting input from others. Everything I write or everything I say didn't mean that I was the initial thinker on this. After all, God gives information to many people, and I simply am a receptacle of that, because people are wondering what I'm thinking about what they're thinking, and sometimes they have a good idea, sometimes they have a brilliant idea, and I thank the Lord for that. Oh boy, I'm glad I learned that, because I didn't see that myself at all, and that happens from again and again. But at any rate, we have also learning that, yes, but God predicted this. Remember 1 Thessalonians 5. This has become, again, one of the key passages that tell us exactly how we are to proceed. Because in 1 Thessalonians 5, God declares, and we're getting more and more familiar with this, because we should be very familiar with these passages. He's saying, verse 2, "For yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so cometh as a thief in the night." And that's the mentality. That's the mentality. God says that. "For when they shall say, peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them, as travail upon a woman with child, and they shall not escape." In other words, having the normal situation in the local congregations, and it's always been this way, and it is right to the very present day, is that the fact is, we are safe and secure in Christ. I've had people come to me and say to me, "You know, you're getting all involved with the timetable of the Bible and getting into a lot of details of how you think the timing of the end might be and so on. But really, what's really important? What's really important? As long as I know that I am the Lord, in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am saved, and so these other things really are not important at all." They believe they are safe and secure. And in the typical church of our day, if you ask them, "When do you think Christ will return?" "Well, we don't know. He's coming as a thief in the night. He could come tonight. He could come next month. He could come 10 years. He could come 100 years from now. We really don't know." And God says that right here. Then they, when they say peace and safety, that they are also believing that Christ comes as a thief in the night. But then we learned in the next verse, in verse 4, "But ye, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should overtake you as a thief. You're all the children of light and the children of the day. You're not of the night nor of the darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch." And you see, there God very distinctly separates the so-called Christians into two different compartments. There are those who believe they're secure in Christ because they have members of a local congregation. They are confessing members. They have been assured that they are a child of God. They are safe and secure, and for them, Christ is coming as a thief in the night. And isn't that exactly the way it is today? That's exactly the way it is. God's prophecies always come true. They always come true. And on the other hand, there are those who are saying, "No, we have to watch." And how do you watch? You search the Bible. You search the Bible. And lo and behold, we learn from Ecclesiastes that we will know time and the law. And in other words, there's a lot we can know about time. So given the fact that we see this clear distinction between those who for whom Christ is coming as a thief in the night on the one hand, and those who are watching or searching the Bible and are aware of the fact that we can know time and judgment. And then I could tie into that a verse like Amos chapter 3, that God doesn't do anything except he reveals it to his prophets. And we can tie in that when we see, for example, that Noah was very much aware when the flood would come. He was given a 120-year warning, and then finally he was given a 7-day warning right at the end, at the that time. Abraham was very much aware when God was ready to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah, and so on. So we have plenty of precedents also in the Bible on this. And therefore, now I feel that the time has come that we ought to talk a little more distinctly and detail a little further the very end. And this is triggered by Jeremiah chapter 28 here, where we find that in Jeremiah 28, the Hananiah, who was the false prophet, that he died that year in the seventh month. And that phrase, seventh month, I'm reading the last verse of Jeremiah 28, that the year has to do with the year of judgment. We've already learned that judgment day began in the year 1988 from everything we can read in the Bible. But what does that have to do with it? Why did he die in the seventh month? Now, in our last study, we looked at that preliminarily, and we found that in the Bible, God gives two timelines. One timeline is working through the biblical calendar, where the first month is in the spring of the year. That's why we always have the Passover and or the celebration of Easter in the spring of the year, because that's in the first month of the biblical calendar. Now because the Passover or Easter, when Christ arose, the Passover was to be observed on the 14th day of the first month. But when we look at the seventh month, that is in the fall of the year. That's ordinarily September or October. And we learn four verses that teach that God also looks at the seventh month as the beginning of the year. Now you're going to wonder, well, why am I talking like this? Why am I saying this? Well, if it's the beginning of the year, it also marks the end of a year, because the beginning comes right after the end of the past year. So, of course, it's very interesting or very significant when we talk about the end of time. And remember, we looked at, let me just refresh our memory, we looked at Exodus chapter 23, verse 16, and there God indicated that the Feast of Tabernacles was to be in the end of the year. Three times you are, in verse 14, you are to keep a feast unto me in the year. Verse 15, thou shalt keep the Feast of Unleavened Bread. That was in the spring of the year. That was tied in with the Passover. Then verse 16, the Feast of Harvest, the first fruits of thy labor, that was Pentecost, that came in the early in the third month. And then he says, and in the end of the year, when thou hast gathered in thy labors and of thy fields, three times in the year shall all thy males appear before the Lord God. In the end of the year, when you've gathered in your fields. The finishing of the harvest identified with the Feast of Tabernacles. We'll find another verse that shows that. But right now, just again to look at the references, if we look at Exodus 34, verse 22, God has repeated this in several places. In Exodus 34, verse 22, he said, in verse there, and thou shalt observe the Feast of Weeks of the first fruits of the wheat harvest, and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. thrice in a year shall all your men children appear. And then we tied that in with Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy chapter 31. Deuteronomy 31, where we read in verse 10. At the end of 7 years, in the solemnity, that word solemnity is incidentally a very, very interesting word. In the appointed time, it's a word that means appointed time of the year of release, in the Feast of Tabernacles. And he's calling it at the end of the years, the Feast of Tabernacles, not the end of every several years. It's at the end of 7 years, and you know, the end of 7 years also identified with the Jubilee. We have come to the end of our time, but we have not come to the end of the Scriptures. The Scriptures go on and on and on, don't they? And so we in our next study will continue these verses and see once where God is going to take us as we go on.